Perspective. You've probably experienced it before, where a small change of perspective or point of view has maybe completely changed your understanding of a particular situation. A small change of perspective can completely change how we respond to the world around us. So I want you to imagine the scene that you can see up on the screen in front of you there. Imagine that you're in a house and you look outside through the window and you see a scene unfolding before your eyes. What do you see there? It's like a kidnapping, right? So you can see a man there grabbing hold of a woman. It looks like he's violently pulling her backwards. It looks like something negative, right? Your initial impression is that the woman is being attacked by the man. But as you step outside your front door and take in the full scene, you realize that instead of attacking the woman, the man is actually saving her from a charging crocodile with its mouth open, ready to snap. It totally changes how you view that event, doesn't it? A change in perspective has totally transformed how you would interpret that particular event. Far from being a man attacking a woman, it's a case of a man saving a woman's life. And friends, that's the difference that perspective can bring. Seeing the bigger picture, you can start to make better sense of the details. And a similar principle applies in terms of spiritual experience. If we're Christians, then part of the bigger picture includes the truth that we have died and been buried together with Christ. In addition, we've also been raised up together with Christ. As we believe in the gospel and as we confess that Jesus is Lord, God's Spirit comes to dwell in us. And if we have God's Spirit in us, well, that then means that we're linked to Jesus. We become one with him. We become members of his body. You can see that faith plugs us into the story of Jesus. Being in Jesus, what has happened to him has also happened to us through faith as we are plugged into him. Now, it's true that all of us here at the moment are presently in Horsley Park, right? Like, if I had to ask Nelson, "Hey Nell, where are we?" Hopefully, he'd be aware of the fact that right at this moment in time, we are currently in Horsley Park. Would you agree with that, Nelson, you think? Horsley Park, is that where we are? But we can move around, can't we? Either we use our legs or we use our vehicles. Later on, after the service is finished, eventually we'll all go home and then we won't be here anymore. We'll be somewhere else. We'll have changed location, but it'll still be somewhere here on planet Earth. But don't just believe what you see with your physical eyes. The physical world is one thing, but alongside of this physical world is a spiritual world. And according to the spiritual dimension, if we've believed in Jesus, then we are members of his body. And if we're members of his body, well then, where are we, spiritually speaking? Where are we right now, spiritually? As we look at things through the eyes of faith, we'll realize that being part of Jesus' body, we're actually located where Jesus is, right? Through faith, we're plugged into him. Where he is, we are. And where is Jesus currently located? Well, Paul tells us, doesn't he, in Colossians 3, verse 1. Jesus is currently seated at the right hand of God. And that's a very significant location. Because according to Psalm 110, the person who sits at the right-hand side of God is none other than an eternal priest who will be a king in Jerusalem and who will be victorious over his enemies. He'll judge the nations and, in fact, crush the rulers of the whole earth, according to Psalm 110. In other words, according to the Bible, the person who sits at the right hand of God in heaven is the king over the whole world. And the Apostle Peter picks this up in Acts 2 when he concludes, after his long sermon, that Jesus, being seated at the right hand of God the Father, that fact means that Jesus is both Lord and Christ. Peter understood the significance of that location. Jesus going to the right hand of God in heaven means that Jesus is the Messiah. Because the right hand of God the Father is nothing other than the location of the throne of Messiah. So we can see then that being located at the right hand of God in heaven, Jesus is currently seated on the throne of Messiah. That means that he's the king of the world, and he's currently extending his rule over the world as the gospel goes out from Jerusalem to all the corners of the earth. Now that's very significant. But the amazing thing is that that truth has phenomenal implications for each one of us. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead to ascend into heaven and be seated on the throne of Messiah, if we are members of his body through faith, if we are plugged into him through faith, then we are located where Jesus is located. Through faith, we are where Jesus is. Which means then that, spiritually speaking, where are we? Physically, we're here in Horsley Park or somewhere else on earth. But spiritually speaking, through faith, we're currently located in heaven. Each one of us, if we have faith in Jesus, we're located not just here, but much more significant than our earthly location is our heavenly location. Through faith in Jesus, we are actually inhabitants of heaven itself. But how often do we realize that fact? Now, just to help us see how special this is, we need to realize that our current location spiritually is the most awesome place in the whole of the universe. Now, perhaps in your lifetime on earth so far, you've come across in your travels certain places where you think the scenery is just fantastic. Perhaps it's the fjords of New Zealand, or Rio in Brazil, or the vineyards of France, or the Swiss Alps. Anyone here seen the Swiss Alps? They're pretty good. I thought we were a bunch of travellers here, so I'm a bit disappointed that no one here has actually spied the Swiss Alps. But what about Patagonia in Chile, or the lochs of Scotland? But friends, none of those places can compare with heaven for splendour. The Bible tells us that heaven is an amazing place. As you approach the throne room of God, you'll see the scary cherubim. And above their heads, you'll see the floor of heaven. It'll come into view, shining like awe-inspiring crystal, like a sea of shining ice. And as the cherubim move their wings, you'll hear an awesome sound, loud and powerful, like the sound of an army marching. And above the crystal sea, there's a throne in appearance like sapphire, and seated above the throne, God himself. You can maybe work out the outline of his appearance there, but basically, his glory will be so blindingly bright that it will look like he's surrounded on all sides by fire and gleaming metal and the brightness of a brilliant rainbow, so much so that it's sort of hard to see what's going on. The way the Bible describes it for us, it's a simply superb setting, and nothing on earth can compare with the beauty and splendour of that place. The crazy thing is, though, that even though our current location as Christians physically is here on earth, we have this location that we are a part of in heaven through our union with Jesus, but we hardly ever think about it. We're so caught up with what we can see through our physical eyes that we often fail to view life through the eyes of faith and to see the bigger perspective. We're citizens of heaven, but we rarely take the perspective of heaven and apply it to our daily activities. Friends, Paul tells us in Colossians 3:1 that if we've been raised with Christ, we need to take on board a heavenly perspective. We need to start thinking about things from God's perspective. We need to be seeking the things above, Paul says. He tells us in verse 2 that we need to be heavenly minded. We should be thinking about the things above, not the things on earth. But what does he mean by that? If we're thinking about the things above and not the things on earth, does that mean that we should be people who always have our heads in the clouds, not worrying about what we eat or drink or worrying about people around about us here on earth? No, that's not what Paul means. Being heavenly minded doesn't mean being of no earthly use. Paul actually defines for us what the earthly parts of us are in verses 5 through to 9. The earthly things are sinful attitudes and actions. Things like sexual immorality, evil desires, greed, idolatry, anger, slander, obscene language. Contrasting with those things, we've got the heavenly things that we're meant to be pursuing. They're defined for us in verses 12 through to 17. Things like compassion and kindness, humility and patience, the willingness to forgive those who have sinned against us, and loving everyone around us. Being heavenly minded means thinking about what is appropriate for people who are actually inhabitants of heaven. For example, if we're part of heaven, do you think it's appropriate there in heaven to be bagging out other people using poisonous or hurtful words? Is it appropriate while in heaven to be lying or stealing? Whatever we do on earth, we do as citizens of heaven. So we need to make sure that our thoughts and behaviour here on earth match up with what is appropriate for our status as members of heaven. It's not right for the peace and harmony of heaven to be infiltrated by the chaos and disorder of hell. We need to be thinking as Christians every day about the kind of lifestyle that is appropriate for those who are members of the kingdom of heaven. We're actually there. What's appropriate for us in that situation? What are the kind of virtues that God would like to see in our lives? And are we seeking after those things? Paul tells us the reason why we're to do this in verse 3. He says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden together with Christ in God." Through our faith union with Jesus, what's happened to Jesus has happened to us. Jesus died on the cross, so we're dead too. We've died to the world, and our life has merged with Jesus' life. That's why Paul says our life is hidden together with Christ. And as Paul tells us in verse 4, Christ is our life. Through his resurrection, as long as we're plugged into him through faith, then we have, spiritually speaking, experienced resurrection too. New life. Now it's true that when we look around us here on earth, it often doesn't look much like heaven, does it? Sin and death still surround us. And we don't see the full signs of resurrection life yet present in our current earthly bodies. But when we put on the glasses of faith and look at the bigger picture, the truth is that we are alive and we're seated in the heights of heaven together with Christ. The truth is that His life is our life. We might not be able to see it with our physical eyes, but we can see it with the eyes of faith. Friends, our true location is in heaven. And in addition to that, as Paul reminds us in verse 4, one day all of that will be seen to be true. One day Christ will be revealed. One day He'll appear, and at that time we also will be revealed in glory together with Him. In other words, on the day that Christ returns, what we currently see by faith will also at that time be seen by sight. When Jesus returns, the physical and spiritual perspectives will merge, and we will see and experience life in the fullness of glory with all of our physical senses. We can't see it physically now, but we can see it through the eyes of faith, but one day we'll actually see it with these eyeballs. If that future reality is true, and if it's true now, then we need to understand that Paul is telling us here that we have died to the world and have new life in Christ. That locates us in heaven right now. If that's true, then our minds need to realize that fact. Our minds need to see things from this new perspective, the heavenly perspective, God's perspective. We need to be heavenly minded rather than just filling our minds with the things of earth. So friends, in the light of Paul's teaching here in Colossians 3, the question that arises for each one of us is, what have we been filling our minds with? What do we spend our time thinking about each day? Living in the world? Are we simply just imitating the ways of the world around us? Or are we living life here on earth guided by our heavenly perspective? If we are in Christ, then our thoughts and behaviour need to fit in with who Christ is and what He stands for. Don't ever forget that in Christ, you are currently located in heaven. Your perspective, therefore, must focus on the things above, on the kinds of thoughts and behaviour that is suitable for your heavenly location. Now, as we saw at the start, seeing the man saving that woman from the crocodile, perspective changes how we view things. Just make sure that you don't lose the heavenly perspective that God would have us bring to bear on everything that we say and do here in this world. In Christ, we are citizens of heaven.